Glad to have all of our visitors here with us this morning. We appreciate you being here. And good to see Ben and Melissa here this morning, and Ryan Michael and his girlfriend. Glad to have you here. Aubrey's got a friend visiting, Misael. Glad to have him here this morning. And glad to have the Ray family with us this morning. Praise the Lord. In case we miss somebody, glad to have you here. Amen. For all those who may be joining online via the internet, thank you for joining us this morning. And we pray that you'd be blessed wherever you are. Glad to have the home folk here this morning with us. And have burden on my heart today. And I appreciate what Sister Rebecca led us in worship and was saying. We're in troubling times right now. And it's having an effect on our nation, our families, individuals, and the church. I want to preach this morning out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. We're going to read in verse 1. It's going to be our first verse. And then we're going to skip down to verse 16. I want to preach this morning on a simple thought about going under. Going under. One of the scariest or most frightening experiences that you can ever have is the feeling of drowning. Anybody in here ever felt like you were drowning? It's terrifying. That feeling or that fear can literally cripple an individual. Even if you don't actually drown, that fear can stay with an individual for the rest of your life. However many of us this morning that have experienced that can tell you it's not a good thing. That feeling of going under and maybe not coming back up. Man, that's not good. It's terrifying. Whether we've come to this experience by swimming or canoeing or as one of our members experienced driving a car into a pond in the wee hours of the morning and it was completely dark, and yeah, I'll get with it. He's not here this morning. I'll give you a hint who it is. But anyway, doesn't matter. It's terrifying to think that you're overwhelmed and you're succumbing to something that's going to take your life without feelings or without any care. It's terrifying. There was one time when we were canoeing, Brother Bill, and there's that long tree that sticks out over the water at the deepest part of that little Miami canoe place that we go to, and love that place. But one time I was rather ignorant and I took my life jacket off because I was going to go from one side to the other. And as I was swimming, not swimming, you know, good, I got a cramp in my leg. And I started to go down, and had it, I believe it was Brant Kendrick, who swims like a dolphin, surprisingly. Hey, thank God. Brant just plucked me up, and oh, thank you, Brant. Hallelujah. About the only time I ever felt like embracing him. But that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. Man, I hate that feeling. You know, this right here, this stuff right here, is so good. I mean, water is life-sustaining. You cannot live. You can't operate with anybody that's been outside in the summer. Yesterday at Sidewalk Sunday School, those kids could not get enough to drink. The workers were, you know, we emptied out a whole cooler of beverage. Man, you're thirsty. It gives life. But what happens when that life-sustaining power all of a sudden is a life-taking force? Let's see what happens in Isaiah. Verse 1, the 59th chapter of Isaiah says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But down in verse 16, it says, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries and recompense to his enemies. And to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Hallelujah. There are moments, and Sister Rebecca so aptly put it just a little bit ago, where we feel overwhelmed. We feel like we're going under. But I'm here to remind us this morning that in those moments where we feel like the enemy is coming against us like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard, a banner, a war flag against the enemy to remind him that he is our King. Hallelujah. Why don't we just lift up our hands this morning and let's ask the Lord to minister by his word. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we appreciate you, Lord. We ask you to minister today by the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, come by. You know every heart that's here. You know every life that's here. And Father, we pray that tonight, Lord, you would minister by the power of your Spirit. God, you are glorious, and we worship you. We magnify you. We give you the glory and honor. We ask that you do an eternal work today. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for the word. That fear of drowning, going under. A lot of us raised our hands this morning. We have an experience in all different places. Oh, Emma's smiling at me. She just got me distracted. I'm sorry. Sorry. All different experiences in different places where we have felt like we're not going to make it. This is it. That's the last breath. That's the last movement. This is where we're going to meet our end and our demise. That's it. Going under. What happens, though, spiritually? Is really what I'm concerned about this morning. Is that there may be an individual here or a marriage or a family that you feel like you're going under. You've met your match. The stress level is so great that you can't hardly bear it. The bills are continually coming in and the income maybe isn't. Maybe you feel like this morning that the pain that you have for your child. Maybe your child's going through something this morning and you just, mom, dad, you are feeling to the point that you are overwhelmed and you're not going to make it anymore. Husband, wife, maybe the stress and contention and frustrations that are coming at you from different angles, maybe from your job, or maybe you're feeling them inside your home and there's just a separation there in your hearts and you're feeling like, man, we're about to go under here. You know, this marriage has been good, but now we are in the middle of what seems to be like a tidal wave, a tsunami of pain and difficulty, and I really don't know if we're gonna make it another day. Listen, there are folks all across this room tonight that could say there have been moments in our lives where we were not sure if we were going to make it for another sunrise. There are those in this room right now that could say, I have been there when it felt like midnight was the last hour I was going to see. There are those in this room who through tragedy or through heartache and difficulty, you have felt that wave of the enemy crashing against the heart, crashing against your home, crashing against your family, and you have wondered to yourself, or maybe you've even cried aloud, I am going under and I'm not going to come up again. But I want to remind us this morning that God's word is still true. He is still on the throne. And we read in the first verse here, the Lord's hand is not shortened. He's not disabled. He's not withered. He's not weak. He still is in the saving business. And neither is his ear deaf that he cannot hear. He is still moving and ministering and hearing the cries of his people. This morning, my brother and sister, please hear the word of the Lord. We will not be overtaken by the enemy. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And although there may be a tidal wave of the enemy crashing in your heart, we have a solid foundation to stand on. Hallelujah. What do we do when the stresses of life are about to take you under? What do we do when the heartache is overwhelming? What do we do when we feel that our marriage is under spiritual duress and everything we try to do on our own isn't working? What do we do? I'm going to give us some advice today from what I've heard. When you're swimming, if you start to drown, what are you supposed to do? First thing they told us when we were going down those river rapids, Sister D, on our senior trip, first thing they said is, if you fall out of the boat, you better stay calm. When you start to panic, you start making decisions that are going to be detrimental to your life. This morning, Mom, Dad, if you make decisions that in the hardest times of your life that changes the course of your family, it will have a detrimental impact upon you and upon your children, upon your marriage. Listen, we do not change course in the middle of a storm. We hold true to what we know is right. And when we begin to feel like we're drowning, there's the temptation to panic, to struggle, to do anything in our power just to stay afloat. And in the process of doing so, we put ourselves in more harm and more danger because we are not doing what we know is right. But if we will stay calm and let God govern our decisions, our homes, our marriages, our lives, we will see that there is an anchor that is holding us that will not allow us to go under. Stay calm. You see, the enemy works in confusion and disorder. It is amazing to me how that when the enemy begins to work, whether it's in a youth group or the church or a home or a relationship, the enemy always brings about some level of confusion and disorder. He hates the fact that God operates in hope. He hates that God operates in peace. Listen, this morning, if you are feeling hopeless or have no peace in your life, that is not a result of God. That is a result of the enemy trying to come against you. God operates in peace. It is God's will for his people to live in peace. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The enemy is the opposite of God in all areas of life. And when God wants to move in your life to bring hope, the enemy wants to come in and bring destruction. This morning, if you are in a crisis in your heart,
and you are questioning in your mind, what are the things that I need to do? And maybe should I just turn around or give up or whatever the case may be. Listen, God wants to give you hope this morning. You're going to make it to the other side. Are you preaching some fluffy psychology stuff? No, sir. That's the word of God. He is going to take us all the way to glory. We will not be overcome by the enemy. We've got victory in Christ. Have hope this morning. Many who try to rescue themselves or try to rescue others are themselves pulled in and drowned, because the individual who is drowning oftentimes flails, panics, begins to grab, wants to be pulled up, and in the process of doing so, the person who is drowning and the person who tries to rescue them are taken under. And there are moments in our lives where, when our world is collapsing around us and it feels like we're going under, folks will come in and try to help. And without doing or without even meaning to, the folks that are drowning can injure those who are trying to rescue them. But if they'll stay calm and if they'll let somebody give them the support they need, lift them up, they'll find that they're almost to the bank. They're almost getting out of this storm. Listen, the Lord knows right where you're at this morning. He knows your financial need. He knows your medical need. He knows the stress that you're under, and He wants to lift you up. Don't fight against Him. Don't go the other way. Don't do things contrary to God's word. Let God lift you up this morning. Let Him be your strength. Let Him be the one that sustains you when you feel like you're going under. Think about when Peter went walking on the water. The book of Matthew, chapter 14, and verse 29 says, "And he said," this is Jesus said it, "come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Hallelujah. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said to Peter, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Jesus never left Peter. It was Peter's perspective that changed. Sister Mary, when he was looking at Jesus, he was walking on the water. And as far as I know, so far it's only been two folks ever done that. So I'm not going to knock Peter for getting out of the boat. He was walking on the water when he was looking at Jesus. But the moment he took his perspective off the master and he began to look at the waves around him and began to listen to the howling of the wind, there was a storm going on in the middle of this. And he looks off of Christ and sees this storm, and he begins to be afraid. I'm not going to knock him, because I've been there. I've been there when that storm felt like it was so great, Dad, I'm going under. I have been there when I have heard the voices of the enemy as strong as the wind blowing and saying it's too much. We've been there when those waves were crashing up against us, and maybe it was hard to see Christ through that storm. But here is the difference. As soon as he began to go under, thankfully, Peter had enough knowledge of Christ that he cried out, "Jesus, save me! Save me! Jesus, save me!" Why? Because even though Peter is sinking, Jesus isn't. He knows that Christ is still walking on the water, and he knows that Christ is the only one that's going to pull him up where he ought to be. He cried out, "Save me!" Oh, this morning there may be somebody in here that just needs to be honest with yourself and know that you need to call out to Christ to save you from where you're at. Listen, if that's all it takes, I'd be the one to do it this morning. If that's all that we have to do is cry out, "Jesus, save me." What did he say? My arm is not shortened that I cannot reach you. My ear is not deaf that I can't hear you. I can hear you this morning. He's listening. Cry out to him. Cry out to him for your family. Cry out to him for your marriage. Cry out to him for your own soul. And cry out, save me, Jesus. And he'll lift you up. He knows where you're at this morning. Mom, Dad, he knows where you're at this morning. With the struggles that you're having in parenting, he knows where you are at this morning. He knows the fears you have for your children. He knows the burden that is on your heart for your children. He knows you this morning, and he'll sustain you. He had the power to lift Peter up from drowning. And then Jesus reminds Peter that Peter really never had any reason to panic or look away. Had Peter continuously kept his eyes upon Christ, he would have made it all the way to where Jesus was at. He asked him, he said, why did you doubt, Peter? With all that Jesus had done for Peter, you see, Jesus has already healed Peter's mother-in-law. He's already seen miracles after miracles with Jesus. Listen, young people, He knows Jesus, and he has seen him work. And he asked him, why did you doubt? The answer is simple, because Peter's human. And who in this building has not, in that moment of trial, questioned and doubted? Here's the thing, though. The best part about Christ, when he said, why did you doubt? As soon as they get into the boat, the storm stops. Hallelujah. Listen, Christ this morning may be reminding us that we have no need to doubt, but have no doubt the storm will stop eventually, and you'll still be with Christ. If he is with you, you will not go under. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that the enemy will come in like a flood. We know he fights. In this church, we have seen God time and time again minister to families who were going under, minister to lives that were sinking, minister to those who needed help. God is faithful. And we know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, we must be reminded that the Lord will rise up. Hallelujah. We know the enemy just wants to destroy. We know that he wants to hinder. We know that the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. It's as basic as can be. We know he's going to come and fight. Oh, but we know that God is faithful. We know that Jesus Christ is true. We know that he is an everlasting God. That's why the psalmist said that he was a place that we could run into and be safe. We know that he is the rock of ages. We know that we can stand on him, steadfast and sure. We know this morning that when the enemy comes in and it feels overwhelming, the Lord is going to raise up a standard against the enemy. Hallelujah. We know the enemy will attack. The stress does have a source. If we were honest this morning and began to look inward, we would see the bitterness has a source. The anger and the jealousy and the hurt, the confusion, the fear, they all have a source, and it is not from God. It is not his fault. The enemy comes in like a flood, but when those things begin to arise in our hearts, the Spirit of the Lord rises up against the enemy, and where the enemy would bring confusion, the Spirit of God brings peace. And when the enemy would bring hurt, the Spirit of God brings healing. And when the enemy would come in to destroy, the Spirit of God mends together like only he can. Listen, whatever the enemy can throw at us, God is also able to rise up and do better than the enemy. If God be for us, who can be against us? We are more than overcomers through him that loved us. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Have hope this morning, believer. Christ loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. He knows where you're at this morning, and He will give you victory. There is nothing that can separate us from Christ. Nothing. He will give you victory this morning. Can you say amen? Jesus is reminding us He will never let us go under. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We know that we can trust Him. We know that He will provide. We know He'll protect. He will prevent destruction. This morning, I really feel in my heart that if we are feeling like we're going under, whether that's our emotions, our minds, maybe physically, we really are going through it. I'm not belittling that. I'm not belittling the problem or the situation. What I'm reminding us is this: even if we're going through a situation, Christ is there. He is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That assurance, that stability is what will take us through the hard times. He's able to provide a job. He's able to provide financially. He's able to heal. He's able to minister. He's able to mend broken hearts. I want us to stand this morning if we will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we have the musicians come, whoever's playing this morning, why don't we sing this morning? Reach out and touch the Lord. You guys help us. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. And you. Somebody needs to believe that this morning.
He's passing by this moment. All your needs He will supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He goes.
Sing it again this morning.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find He's not too busy.
Hallelujah.
To answer your cry.
This morning, if you feel like you're going under, why don't you come to the altar? Talk to the Lord. Cry out to Him. As you come, sing this song and believe the Lord is here. Is there anyone else? You feel like you're going under, but right now you want the Lord to lift you up, to give you hope, to give you strength. Is there anyone? You say, I just need God to move in my life. Here's some coming. Is there anybody else? You say, I need God to lift me up. I'm struggling. Oh, you're not sinning if you feel like you need help this morning. It's God wanting to minister to you. Hallelujah. Oh, is there anyone else this morning? You say, Brother Brian, I just want to be lifted up. Oh, I feel like I'm struggling, but I need God right now to give me a touch. Is there anyone else? Hallelujah. All right, let's sing this as we come. Let's find a place to pray and talk to the Lord. Oh, sing it as you come and believe it. Hallelujah.
As He goes by, oh, just.